So, what is it like to know that your brother and sister, your next one, is going to come via embryo adoption? What is it like to watch your parents walking through embryo adoption, especially when you're 18 years old? So, in some respects, an adult yourself. That's what we're going to be talking about today. This is the Embryo Adoption Podcast, brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. You can find out more about us at embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, the Marketing and Development Director for the NEDC, and I'm joined today by AJ Hammaker. AJ, so good to have you here. As I said at the outset, you're only 18 and your parents are now walking down this road. So tell me how they introduced the topic to you.
Yeah, so it was a couple years ago. We're actually at a Mexican restaurant, and they just brought it up and said that this was something they were looking into, and we're pretty excited about it. The only thing that had caught me off guard was how the freezing process, that just boggles my mind. But I'm just as excited about it as my parents are, so.
What were the first thoughts that were running through your mind? Did you know that embryo adoption existed before they told you about it at that dinner meeting?
No, actually, I don't think, no, I had never heard about it. So that was the first time that it had ever been brought up. I don't think they even knew about it for, I don't know how long they talked about it before they told me about it, but it's just not something that we had ever heard of before.
What did you and your siblings think? What was your instant reaction?
Well, our families, we really enjoy children. And so it wasn't a far step for us. So we're just super excited about it.
Yeah, you have a big family. For folks who don't know, your parents, Aaron and Jen, how many children do they have?
Yes, right now we have six children and then the one embryo baby on the way.
Right. Your mom is pregnant right now with the embryo baby. And are you, where do you stand in the order? Are you the oldest? Are you second oldest?
Yeah, I'm the oldest of all the children.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. So, you know, like I mentioned, you're only 18, almost 19. Explain to me how once you really grasped what your parents were doing, you became so passionate about embryo adoption. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you're doing with that passion as we continue the conversation, but how did you become so passionate about it?
So we looked, our first go-to was to study the Bible and just see what God says about things of that nature. And so one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it is because it's, we found it's an extension of the caring for orphans. So they're in the most helpless state. And so we've just taken that initiative to care for the orphans in this way. And I guess it's just something that I've enjoyed learning about and sharing as well. So,
well, that's how we view it, is that these are God's tiniest image bearers. And that's why I'm here. That's why most of us are here, is because we think that these are the tiniest lives that are deserving of protection. And that's what the NEDC is really founded on. We love that we get to help embryo donors. We love that we get to help embryo adoption families add kids to their homes, but really we're founded upon protecting the sanctity and dignity of the human embryo. So I love hearing you say that. That's certainly why we are here. What do friends think when they hear your family's story? Can you tell me?
Yeah, so I think most of our friends are intrigued by it because it's obviously something they've never heard of before. So just introducing the topic, I think it can be difficult to wrap your mind around the whole process, but when we explain, and most of our friends have the biblical worldview that would understand But some people you can tell it's just not connecting, but we come, a lot of our friends have that worldview, so it's easy for them to see the nature of what we're doing.
How far along is your mom now?
I think 20 something weeks. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly.
Doesn't have to be exact. So somewhere in that, I mean, basically the baby is right about the age of viability right now. Mm-hmm. Probably somewhere in the mid 20s. And do you know what you're going to have, a little brother or sister?
A little sister. Her name will be Eve Grace.
That's good. That's great. That's great. And how many sisters do you have before Eve?
Four.
Did you want a brother?
No, my brother and I like it by ourselves, so it's not a problem.
So you're just going to add another girl to the family. Well, Evie is going to be really special, I'm sure. Okay, I wanted to talk about this. You have actually been captured so much by embryo adoption that you're writing a book on it. Can you tell me about that, how that came about?
Yeah, I have a passion for writing in general. And with this, this next passion of embryo adoption, adding that to the table, it just something that made sense for me to do. It's probably going to be on the shorter end of a book, closer to a booklet maybe, but what I address in it is the first couple chapters are like, what is embryo adoption? And so just explaining that a little bit. And then the rest of the chapters include the world's view and why it is such a need. And then taking that and a couple of chapters, I go through scripture to back up our worldview and the purpose of it all. And so the main two that I address are James 1:27 and Deuteronomy 24:17. But then the last half of the book is what it will affect. So like one of the chapters is about the morality of it and like why it's good and why it's a good thing. And then like the second to last chapter, I think, is geared towards providing ways that you can do something about the need. And so laying out a couple ways to help. And then I just recently decided to put in a chapter at the very end describing my and our parents' story. So I think that'll be good.
It will. It'll be really good. So first of all, how long have you been working on this? How much? I'm really a writer by trade, and I know, you know, a lot of people who maybe they you know, hammer nails for a living, and that's good work. That's hard work. But they might, somebody who does that might look at it and say, oh, well, writing is writing. Writing's pretty hard work. I know that. So tell me what it's like for you. What's the writing process like, and how long has it been going on?
Altogether, I started it around this time last year. Most of what it's easier for me to just sit down and write it, but the reason it's taken so long is trying just fitting in that time to do so. Right now, I'm in the like editing stages. So just going through revising a couple things and adding in that last chapter. But I don't think it would really take, it shouldn't necessarily take a year, but I've just kind of taken my time with it. So that's why it's taken so long.
Is it going to be self-published, or how are people going to be able to access it once it's out there?
Right now I work for a book publishing company. So that's my first go-to. It's Crown and Cross Books. So as far as I know, it will technically be self-published, but I'm not sure where we'll go from there.
So if it's good, if it's deemed good, Crown and Cross could potentially publish the work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will hope and pray for that, because I'm sure it's going to be good. You're obviously a very, very bright young man, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. I hope you'll at least send me a copy, and we'll certainly plug it on the NEDC platforms. So let me ask you, AJ, why do you think it's so important that people learn about embryo adoption? What are some of the common myths and objections that you've had to sort of set folks straight on?
I think I haven't talked to many people with objections yet, but one of the foundational things of the purpose for reaching people and informing them about it is probably just the lack of knowledge about it. A lot of people will get passionate about preserving lives at abortion clinics and such, and that's definitely a good thing. But sometimes it just escapes people's mind that it goes even farther than that. And so just informing about, like you said before, the sanctity of human life all the way down to the human embryo. So I think it's something that a lot of people would get on board with, but they just don't necessarily know about it. So that's one of the purposes for writing the book, is just informing people about the general idea of it.
That's something that I have said. I've been in this job for about 6 years, and really from day one, I've said that this is the corner of both the pro-life movement and the pro-adoption movement that the church is really still learning about. And when folks who are believers get the vision, they grasp what this is, they grasp that it's out there, it really resonates, because it's a great way to honor God and a great way for a lot of people to build their families. But it's just slow, steady work to gradually open the minds of more, especially Christians, everybody, but Christians especially, to the blessing that embryo adoption is. So it's great that you're helping do that brick by brick work, because that's exactly what it is. And especially believers, the more who find out about it, the more for whom this mission is going to resonate. That's certainly what we found at the NEDC, and I'm sure your book's going to play a really helpful role in that, AJ. So, you know, like I said, obviously you're a bright young man. You're taking time to write this book. Just tell me a little bit about yourself. Explain what life looks like in general for you right now.
At the beginning of this year, I got a job at the publishing company that I'm at. And so that's really a collection of everything that I like to do. So I really enjoy the job. And then on off days or the weekend or at evenings, I like to spend time with my family, read if I get a chance, and then just try and find time for stuff like this, the book, the podcast, which is amazing. But there's, I don't know, pretty generic, I guess.
Well, now I'll tell you what, I was not working for a publishing company when I was 18. What do you do for them? How did that come about?
My title is administrative office manager, but basically what I do is the publishing company was in, like, we have all the equipment and everything. So just, it's been a slow process for my boss, which is also my pastor. But he had this vision for republishing old particular Baptist works, because they, particularly in the 17th century, I think, but the pastors and theologians of that era have largely gone out of print. So he had the vision of republishing them. And he's had this vision for, I don't know how long, but he started several years ago, just gathering things, like just slowly putting it together. And, but it's obviously a side, it was more of a hobby for him. So to have me jump on and start pushing it forward, to actually, like, part of what I do is getting the text of what he wants to republish into Word files that we can edit and transcribe, basically, and then to get to the point of printing it. And so to have me be full time and be able to push those things forward was great for him, because it's jumped by leaps and bounds to get towards reaching that goal. So we have all the equipment to public, like buying the books and everything. And so our focus now is getting things ready for hardback, because we're focusing on getting a good quality hardback set of books to sell that will, the first one that we're working on is called the London Standards. And so it'll have the 1689 Confession, the Baptist Catechism, and an Orthodox Catechism. So that's pastors in particularly the Reformed Baptist circles will be able to use that for their churches, but it's obviously available for anyone else who wants to have those. But just having a good hard copy and edition of that will be good. So some of the other things I help with are right now we do paperback of the books we already have. So occasionally putting those together.
Well, it's good stuff. I mean, it's pretty heady stuff for somebody your age, and you're studying pretty sophisticated material. What do you see yourself doing? Before we go, what do you see yourself doing professionally, long term?
My aim is to be a pastor, and I expect to be bivocational. That's not a problem for me. I understand it's something I want to do. So this publishing job is the perfect fit for the other job. So as I'm working towards becoming a pastor, it's good to have this in the meantime.
Well, best wishes as you look toward that day when maybe you're shepherding your own flock. We really appreciate your passion for embryo adoption. AJ Hammaker has been my guest. And yeah, we salute you for everything you're doing, AJ. And of course, we continue in prayer for your family until baby Evie arrives and even afterwards. She's going to be added to the number of over 1,000 NEDC babies. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.